Hello, this is Informer, a show that reveals the latest ideas from artists, thinkers, and technologists. Informer invites you behind the screen to meet the people sketching, hacking, and imagining the next versions of our world. I'm Roddy Schrock, your host, and in each episode, I spotlight creative minds grappling with a changing world through art, technology, or often both. And I hope you'll subscribe to this podcast at informerpodcast.com, where you can also find show notes, links, and more information on all of the artists and projects that we discuss. I've known Julia for over a decade and have admired her fearless approach to both creating communities through art and tech meetups, which ran for years throughout New York City, and then to her leadership in the creation of New Ink, an art and tech incubator with the New Museum. In parallel to that, she's also developed a fantastic career as an independent curator, and she shares more about that in our conversation today. I really enjoyed this chance to catch up with her and hear more about what she's seeing as being the most exciting developments in the fields of art, technology, and science. And we had a great time discussing what a potential intra-institutional approach to building new art and tech infrastructures could be, and how that might be developed as a counterpoint to the dominance of just a few tech companies. We get pretty into the weeds on even potential funding structures that would allow for this, how nonprofits might collaborate to build a more humane and human version of the metaverse, which it seems as though we're all being ushered into at this time. So with that, I hope you enjoy. One of the things I love asking all of my guests is, what are your earliest memories of art?
So yeah, I think my earliest experiences with art would have been with Ukrainian folk art. So I was born in Kyiv and I lived there till I was six. And, you know, I think some of the first things that I would have seen that would have been art in one way or another would have been Ukrainian pizanki, which are these really beautiful painted eggs, which have a kind of mythological meaning to them and different kind of patterns that have different sort of significance. I'm not going to get into the mythology of them right now. Later on, I think my first like memory of a museum show would have been, you know, after we immigrated to New York. I remember going to the Met and seeing an exhibition of Impressionist works. This would have been in the 90s. And I actually looked it up to be like, what was that show? And it was Origins of Impressionism in 94. And yeah, just being really kind of enamored with the colors and this kind of dreamlike quality of the paintings. And I remember being especially kind of drawn to Renoir's work and his depictions of women and children.
Maybe you could share a little bit of kind of your earliest experiences where you started to see overlap between technology and art.
I mean, the first memory I have of technology is, again, back in Ukraine. And this was my uncle bringing home a Game Boy and playing, like, you know, Mario or whatever it was, maybe even Tetris, probably both. And I think that that introduction was inherently creative, right? Like this is a both an artistic and a playful way of, you know, first encountering a computer. I had never seen anything, you know, resembling a computer until that point. Later on, I would use computers in a creative fashion, whether it was, you know, making GeoCities pages, as I think we all did growing up in the 90s, early 2000s, and playing around with music software. I never really considered myself an artist, but, you know, I spent time on like DeviantArt. And, you know, all of these experiences, I think for me, there was always a link between, let's say, computers and creativity. And I think it was probably after college when I was in New York and I was starting to think about doing those meetups that I was doing, that I was first encountering organizations like iBeam and Rhizome, where you had artists who were using technology at this kind of more root level, you know, at the code level. That was the first time that I encountered that. But I think, you know, technology as a tool for creative expression always was how I viewed it.
And one of the things I, just knowing your practice over the last decade, I guess, I've always just admired so much your insistence upon bringing people together around that kind of creative practice and technology. You know, I think for some people that work in, you know, fields, you know, like ours, that maybe don't necessarily fall into a traditional conception of art curator, I wonder, like, what, how would you describe your practice? Do you see yourself, has it changed over time? And do you see yourself as a curator now? Is that something that you've always felt? Or what kind of language would you use to sort of describe the kind of practice that you have?
Yeah, I mean, my practice has definitely changed a lot over the years. I kind of entered into this space as someone with a background in journalism. So, you know, my first job my first job in art and technology, I would say, is as the editor of the Creators Project. And then, you know, when I had experiences there of working with artists to commission new works and to kind of facilitate the production of those works, and, you know, being involved with putting the festivals together, I really kind of fell in love with particularly working with artists on the commissioning process, and then, you know, showing that work to publics. So that was something that, you know, I aspired to do. I did have an early kind of experiment in curation together with a roommate. We started something called Blue Box Gallery back in like 2008 or nine. And we were doing some pop-up new media art shows. So, like, I think the first show we did was Gabriel Barcia Colombo. And we showed Jason Huff at one point. you know, that was more kind of an experiment and a way to learn by doing, which is something that I've always done. So, you know, I've been working my way up towards calling myself a curator. And I think I only really started to do that sometime around the end of my journey with New Ink. And that came from, you know, working with the artists who were doing residencies at Bell Labs and putting together an exhibition based on the works that were created for that. And, you know, working with all of the wonderful artists and creative technologists who came through New Ink and playing this role that is, not quite mentor. I mean, I do think that curators often play this role with artists as well, where you're kind of providing a sounding board, you're providing, if not crits, but like you're talking through the intention and trying to understand what the artist is trying to achieve and kind of probing and prodding them to realize the full potential of this work, as well as oftentimes connecting them with resources that would make that work possible. Be that, like, you know, someone who is, you know, a fabrication specialist in one thing or another that would help make fill in the gaps of knowledge or expertise that would be required to take work to the next level. Yeah, and those are all things that I really enjoy and wanted to spend more time doing, which is kind of why I've been moving my practice to focus on those types of relationships.
You know, you were the essentially founding director of New Ink, and I would imagine so much of what that organization is the product of your vision for what it can be. I wonder, you know, when you started New Ink, I think my memory is even at that time, the field of art and technology was still a very male dominated kind of world. You know, I mean, I remember starting at iBeam, literally being kind of shocked at the fact that there were very few artists besides essentially, you know, white boys who were kind of working in the organization. And I wonder if you feel comfortable sharing a little bit about what that was like to sort of, you know, start a new organization with a vision for, you know, what could be in the field rather than just what was at that time.
Yeah. I mean, I think the first 2 years or so of New Ink was really just about trying to get it up and running and getting a sort of baseline of stability, and making sure that the program kind of can exist, can function, can be valuable and useful to its community. But very quickly, and I think, you know, credit to Karen Wong and Lisa Phillips, the deputy director and director of the new museum. Like, I think the new museum being a female-led institution that has always been a female-led institution, founded by Marsha Tucker, and, you know, also really kind of focused on bringing more diverse artistic voices to the fore, I would say. We looked at our applicant pool, we looked at our member community, and, you know, really saw that we were emulating a lot of the same disparities that already existed in tech and in art. You know, it was very white, very male dominant. And we kind of challenged ourselves to see how we could do better, because New Ink always had this aspiration to try to model a different idea of what an incubator to be, almost as a kind of foil to the Silicon Valley incubators, accelerators that already existed. And so a lot of that had to do with, you know, putting purpose over profit, with, you know, championing some sort of cultural value as opposed to just capital value, and wanting to see what would happen when we take this kind of mission oriented approach that comes from nonprofits, comes from the arts, and give it the tools, the sort of business skills to potentially grow and excel. But alongside that, you know, you also look at the other ways of existing that you want to be modeling. And I think a big part of that was having a community that felt more diverse and was structured in a way that would be more equitable and more kind of representative of the diverse perspectives and talents that we encounter here in New York.
I mean, it's certainly the field of art and technology is one that changes at the speed of invention. I have seen more change just in the last 2 years in just a whole host of different arenas and, you know, kind of bundled.